rest of them are busy doing other stuff. We can't be like that. We have to be looking up. Okay? Guys, we'd like to ask you guys, let's keep our pastor, Pastor Joe, in prayer. As you know, his sister went to be with the Lord. I know that's good for her because now she's in a better place, but us who stayed behind, you know, it hurts. So let's keep him in prayer, please. Church together. A church that prays together stays together. So that's the whole idea of fellowshipping is for everyone to help each other. Okay, the second commandment is love your neighbor as you love yourself, and we need to prove that. We need to love our neighbors. We need to love, especially as we gather together, you know, in fellowship in the name of Jesus, right? So tonight we're going to be in the book of Galatians, second chapter. We're going to be starting on verse 11 to 21. We're going to finish the chapter. But before we do that, let's go into prayer. We always need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Lord Jesus, I ask you tonight, Lord, to please use me to let you to bring your word forth, Lord, to your people. Lord, I know how much you love us. I know, Lord, how much you want us to understand your word. Father, give us ears to hear, eyes to see the spiritual, Lord. Father God, these days are so critical. We need your presence so much now than before, Lord. If we ever needed you, it's now when we do. So, Lord, we seek your face. We ask you, Lord, just send your Holy Spirit and fill us with it, with him, and let your Holy Spirit fill us with not only his presence, but with your wisdom, so that we can understand your word, Father, in these days that it's so critical. Father, we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody has a Bible? Amen. Let's open it to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Paul writes this letter to the Galatians for a number of reasons, but one of them is the Galatians, like every other church that Paul has started, converted to Christ by faith alone. And that is what we're supposed to, or how we're supposed to convert and be saved, by faith alone, right? But for some reason, the church of Galatia had started thinking that they had to add works in order to be saved. Okay? And that being said, they left their voyage of faith to start a new course based on works. And that made Paul very, very disturbing. Okay? Or disturbed them so much that he wrote this letter to the Galatians. And my friends, it also disturbs our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 7, 22 and 23 says this. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, everything based on works? Have we not done this? Have we not done that? And done many wonders in your name? They're asking the Lord Jesus Christ in the great white throne. Okay, they still have excuses. And what is his response? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay? It's not about works. It's about putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, James writes an epistle where he says, show me your works. Is it contradicting? No. Once we are saved, Ephesians says that we are saved to do good works. We do good works because we are saved, not to be saved, which you see a lot of religion nowadays. Oh, you got to do this. You have to do that. You have to get baptized. No, you don't have to get baptized. You have to speak in tongues. You know, if you don't speak in tongues, you're probably not saved. If we've read the book of Corinthians, Paul clearly says that not everybody has the gifts. But yet, a lot of pastors push that and they actually say, all right, let's all speak in tongues at the same time. Which also Paul says, you know what, guys? You can't do that. If you do that, if somebody comes in, how are they going to understand what you're saying? How are they even going to say amen to what you're saying? Even if you're saying good things about the Lord, if nobody understands, what good does it do to the church? Okay? So he lays out the groundwork in Corinthians of how the church is to flow. Okay? And now he brings this epistle to the Ephesians to let them know that the faith is the only thing that saves us. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus Christ and what he did in the cross, right? Now he says to them, with the authority given to me by the will of God, because he was taught by Jesus Christ himself, okay? Everything he put down on all his epistles came directly from the Lord. He had the authority to do so. Okay? So that's why he was compelled to write this epistle to the Galatians. Okay? He states in this epistle that our blessings come from God on the basis of faith. Not on the law or on works. The law declares men guilty and imprisons them, puts them in bondage. Okay? But faith, brothers and sisters, sets us free. Okay? Free to enjoy the liberty in Christ Jesus. Okay? But know this, church. The liberty in Christ Jesus is not a license to sin, okay? You want to know what our liberty in Christ Jesus is? That freedom is that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ is to produce the fruits of righteousness through a spirit-led lifestyle. Okay? It's not just calling on the Holy Spirit for a few minutes or for a little bit of time. No, it's living a lifestyle of walking with the Lord and hearing his word and listening to what he's got to say so that you can produce these fruits. There are also in Galatians. Number one is love, joy, long suffering. You don't see that nowadays. Everybody's impatient. Kindness. Goodness. Do you see that in the world? No. Everybody's looking out for themselves. Faithfulness. Important one. Gentleness. And the all, you can't leave this one out. Self-control. When you are led by the Spirit, or when you are Spirit-filled, you are still responsible for your actions. You still need to use your intellectual, okay? And what intellectual is that? It's not the intellectual of the world, what you've learned out there. This is what we're to use, okay? There was this one time when a pastor was preaching, hopefully it doesn't happen today, a guy comes up to him, and he just punches him in the mouth. And the pastor's like, what's going on? And this guy has the nerve to tell him, oh, the Holy Spirit instructed me to do so. Come on. That's not knowing the word, guys. That's not knowing what the fruits of the Spirit are. Guys, we laugh. These things happen. They happen in churches. They happen in places where Christians are gathered together to supposedly learn about God. Now, we're going to find out today that even being Spirit-filled, we can still make mistakes. Okay? It happened to good old Peter. We're going to see that. Okay? So let's start. Before we start on verse 11, let me just tell you this. Works, or it also can be a religion. In some of that, in the religion, the first thing that the Jews are looking for is circumcision. You have to be circumcised. And then you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do the following of the things. But we are going to find out that the circumcision now is of our hearts. Right here. Cutting away everything that you're not supposed to have there. Okay? Which is the opposite of these fruits of the Spirit. If you want to go there, we're not going to go there today, but if you want to see those, they're right above Galatians 5, 22 and 23, right above those passages there. Paul states clearly what the fruits of the flesh are. And we are to avoid those. How? By following and being led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? We ready? Let's go to verse 11. Chapter 2. Galatians. It says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to blame. Wow. Good old Peter. Okay? Now let's remember that by now, the Holy Spirit had already filled Peter and the gang at Pentecost. Okay? You can see that in Acts chapter 2. Spirit-filled, like I said before, brothers and sisters, Spirit-filled people can still make mistakes. Okay? Now remember, Peter's no longer in Jerusalem. It says here that he traveled to Antioch. Okay? He was in Paul's territory. Antioch was mostly made up of Gentiles. And if you read the first passages here on Galatians, it says that when Peter went to talk to the pillars of the church, which was considered James, Peter, and John, they all came to an accordance that Peter was, or had the calling to go to the Jews, to the circumcision, and Paul had the calling to go to the uncircumcision, the Gentiles. Okay? So, that being said, let's see what happens here. Okay? Verse number 12. For before certain men came from James, okay, James is the stepbrother of our Lord. And again, like I said, he's one of the pillars of the church from Jerusalem. He would eat with Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Okay? By withdrawing from the Gentile believers to fellowship with the Judaizers, Peter, knowing he was wrong, in appearance, he was supporting the doctrine of the Judaism. Okay? So in doing so, he was nullifying Paul's divine teaching, the doctrine of salvation by what? By grace alone. Okay? We are saved by grace alone, nothing else. You cannot add anything to salvation. It has all been done where, guys? Right here. Look at what he wore in his head. Like the worshiping song said, he wore that right above his eyebrow. And not only that, he suffered like no other man has ever suffered for you and for me. You can't add anything to that. Nobody can. We cannot pay for the debt that the law said was on us. Why? Because we broke the law. Who hasn't broken the Ten Commandments? I have. Probably every single one of them. I'm guilty. That's why I need Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here, guys. I'm not here because I'm a good fellow on my own. I need the blood to cleanse me every single day. And there's no other way. There's nothing I can do. I can't preach 20,000 sermons to be saved. I can do nothing but the blood of Jesus on me. That's it. Okay? Number 13. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. Who's him? Peter. Okay? So that even Barnabas was carried away with this hypocrisy. Okay? The Jews, on the other hand, would not dare share a meal with the Gentiles. Okay? So Peter thinks, right now, it's a good time for me to get away. Remember that commercial? It always happened after something embarrassing happened to the person, and it goes, want to get away? And then they showed you the it was a flight commercial. Okay, get on the plane and let's go. So right about now, Peter says, you know what? The gang came. Now it's time for me to get back with my gang. Okay? Obviously, he probably hadn't read Ephesians yet, where it says that, you know, there's no longer Gentile, there's no longer Jew. There's no longer men. There's no longer women. We are all in Jesus Christ alone. Okay? But this is Peter, guys. This is Peter. This is Peter who, like I said, spirit-filled. Listen, if Paul had not wrote this epistle, you probably would have thought Peter from the time, remember when he was with Jesus, he would always put his foot in his mouth, right? And after he, if you read his sermon after Pentecost, I mean, he was a totally different Peter, right? But if Paul had not wrote this epistle, you would have never known that Peter did this? Spirit-filled Peter? Wow. That makes me say, you know, think, well, if Peter did this, the pillar of the church, man, I'm not even close to that. What makes you think I wouldn't make a mistake? Yes, we all make mistakes. But John, the other pillar, wrote on 1 John 1:9 that if we confess that sin, he is faithful to forgive us, not only forgive us, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness again. And again, and again. But church, we need to learn the lesson. We need to walk in the Spirit. It's not about our works. Okay? If works done with a motive other than helping the kingdom of God, they're in vain. Okay? If anything is done that is not in love, you could see it on 1 Corinthians 13. It's in vain. Okay? We are like bells that just cling and make just a loud noise. And what happens? Your ears hurt. We are to live in harmony together. Not only at church, wherever we go, in our homes. Well, husbands need to love their wives. Kids, love their mom and dad. Wherever you go, you're supposed to preach the word. Preach the love. Okay? 14. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the matter of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Wow. Peter, he's saying, you ate alongside us. You even sat beside me and all my brothers and sisters. Okay? Peter, you're a Jew and can't keep the rules and regulations of Judaism. What makes you think the Gentiles can? Or what makes you think that you can make them keep the rules? No one can, right? So Paul says, Peter, what you're doing does not make sense. Okay? Look, church, hypocrisy always tries to make other people do what we ourselves can't. Matthew 23, 1 through 4 says, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. Whatever they tell you, do it, because they know the law. Okay? Now, on the other hand, he said, but do not do according to their works. If they say, and because they say and do not do, for they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers. Okay? We cannot put burdens on other people that you yourself cannot bear. That's what hypocrisy is. We need to be open, guys. Just the way we are here at church, where we lift our hands and we worship God, and we have to be like that everywhere else. You can't change. We can't change. We have to live a lifestyle of being led by what? By the Holy Spirit. Okay? And Peter apparently had forgotten this. Peter, of all guys, like Pastor Joe says, for Pete's sake, Peter. 15 and 16. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Very clearly, okay? Paul had to remind Peter how we are saved. So don't worry, guys. You make a mistake, come to 1 John 1:9, repent, and start over. That's going to be our lives. Why? It's a struggle. It's a fight. Every single day is a fight here. And you can let it start here, because you know what? You can't stop that. The enemy of our flesh, the cares of the world, put thoughts in our brain and our minds, but we can stop them from coming here to our heart. Because once they get here, that's when we've sinned. And that's when we need to repent. And that's the fight that we have to fight every single day, guys. Every single day, we have to be in the Lord. We have to start with prayer. We have to worship God. Everything is important. Not only does it please the Lord, but it helps us. It helps, makes it a little easier. Because guys, the Lord said we will have tribulation. We will have trouble in our lives. Have any of you guys gone through trouble in your lives? Yeah, of course. We will have it. But the Lord promised to be with us every single minute of those situations. Okay? So Paul says, Peter, both of you and I know a man is only justified by faith alone in Christ Jesus. There is nothing no one can do to be saved before believing in the Lord. Okay? Same with us, church. We cannot earn God's favor by coming to church, by doing morning devotions, or going to Bible studies, or doing special things. We cannot earn God's favor by doing those things if you think you're doing it to earn God's favor. Now, we need to put our faith in Jesus Christ, and the blessings then will flow. Matthew 6:33. You guys are probably all familiar with it. But seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay? It's not just the kingdom of God. His righteousness. Doing things correctly. Doing things right. Being fair. Having good balances. Okay? And all things shall be added to you. Guys, all we really need is food to keep going, a place to stay, and clothes in our bodies. And if you read the passages right before this one, Jesus said that our Lord will provide that and more. But yeah, we're always asking, yeah, Lord, but what about that new truck that, you know, that everybody else is driving? What about that big house that my neighbor has? And he's a heathen. He doesn't even follow your words. Okay? It's not about what we do, guys. Don't you think that God knows what we need? He created us. All right? It's like a father should know better. He has his little son. He just turned 15 years old. And the guy, the dad likes the roadsters, the hot rods. And the first thing he does when his son turns 15 years old, he gives him a brand new hot rod. 2 or 3 weeks later, this guy gets into a wreck and he loses his life. Is that smart? No. Our father knows that if he gives you a hot rod, you're going to get into a wreck and you're going to die prematurely. So he gives you only what you need because he doesn't want you to get in trouble. So when you ask for things that he knows you can't have because they will hurt you, what is he going to do? He's going to say no. You're not going to get that. You can jump. You can do all the tantrums you want. You're not going to get that because you know what? I know better. My ways are higher than your ways. True? Yes. He knows us. Okay? So we cannot declare blessings upon ourselves. It does not work that way. Okay? They come upon us by grace alone. You can't declare, like a lot of the pastors nowadays that say that, oh, the Lord wants you to be rich. The Lord wants you to live a good life. Look at Paul's example. Did he live a good life? According to him, he did. And he lived in prison. He lived in cold places. But you know what? He's the one that said, I can live in abundance. I can live in poverty. Why? Because I can do all things in Christ. That's what he meant by that scripture. people use that scripture like, well, I can do all things in Christ, so I deserve a lot of things. We don't deserve nothing, guys. If there's anything we deserve, it's death. And because of his grace, we don't get it. Praise Jesus. That's why by grace alone we are saved. Okay? So then again, they come upon us, the blessings, by only by his grace. Okay? Now the problem with that is God does not always take away, or in other words, if we sin, he will forgive us, right? The only problem is he doesn't take the consequences of those sin all the time. Sometimes he does. But most of the time, those consequences are there. In my case, before I came to the Lord, I used to like to drink a lot. Alcohol was like the number one thing in my life. Okay? Now, had I gone drinking or kept on drinking, even when I came to the feet of Jesus, guess what? My liver, there's only so much my liver can take. Now, God's not going to take that consequence. He's not going to say, well, look how good Joe is. He preaches now, and, you know, I'll just let him drink a little longer. And no, we have to be responsible. We have to cut those things that will hurt us, not only in our physical bodies, but in our spiritual as well. Okay? Because he is going, or we're going to have those consequences there if we don't take care of ourselves. Okay? In other words, if we keep on sinning, we'll destroy ourselves. Okay? Do you remember in the book of Numbers, do you remember Balak or Balak and Balaam? Okay? Where Balak wanted Balaam to curse the Israelites. And he couldn't. He tried for four times. They made all this religious stuff, and he would say, well, you know, make this altar, and I'm going to see what the Lord says. And every single time, he would bless the children of Israel, okay? But seeing his money go away, he said, look, I can curse them, but I have a way where they can curse themselves. He says, look, get all your women, get them in there, invite the Israelite men to come to their tents, and while they're in there, show them your religion. And they will curse themselves by doing that because their God hates idolatry. And he was right. Okay? Because in Revelation 2:14, our Lord Jesus said this, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak, you can, to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacred to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. So God will bless you, but we can curse ourselves by doing the things that he tells us not to do. Okay? Does that make sense? We need to stay away from immorality. We need to stay away from everything that is stated. That we no longer live under the law, because that part has been erased by Jesus Christ, right? The law said you were guilty and you were condemned to death. He took that part off. So you no longer live under the law because you no longer have that debt. But that doesn't mean that you're going to go back to do what you used to do. Now we walk in a straight path, having our eyes where? In Jesus. Jesus Christ alone. Because Paul is going to give us a perfect example here before the end of the message on why we need to do that. 17 says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. And Christ, therefore, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not, guys. Paul wants Peter to understand that eating with Gentiles does not make him a sinner. Okay? Is Christ a sinner, he says? He ate with tax collectors. He ate with prostitutes. Mark 2:16 says, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating, he's talking about Jesus, with the tax collectors and the sinners, they said to his disciples, how is that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? Did that make him a sinner? No, because he came to convert them from their sin. That's why he is a friend of sinners. That's why he is our friend. Our salvation, our creator. Okay? So eating does not defile a man. You can see in Mark 7:18-23 says, so he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? He's talking to his disciples. Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart. See, that's what we need to watch out for. Make sure those thoughts do not enter our hearts. It says, it does not enter the heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lawlessness, so on and so on and so on. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within, and that's what defiles a man. That's what we need to watch out for. Okay? It's not you being with the wrong crowd. Although you shouldn't be in some places, you know, that are going to probably make you do things you shouldn't do. Okay? That's why we have to take Peter's example here, where he actually made a mistake. And I'm sure he repented of it, because the Lord, when he was in a trance one time, brought down this sheet and said, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, oh no, Lord, I'm always clean. I've never done that before. And he told Peter three times everything. Why? We have hard heads. Okay? And by that he was telling him, look, Peter, the Gentiles and the Jews, they're all the same in God's eyes. It don't matter. And from then on, he realized, you know, and he was even sent to a Gentile home for the person to be saved. Number 18, for if I build against those things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. Okay? We who are mature in faith should know this verse. Do not erect another set of rules and regulations, guys. We are saved by grace alone. Okay? Simply come to God just like we are. A lot of people say, I can't go to church. I'm not a good person. I tell them, neither am I. That's why I go to church. Yeah, but you're the pastor. It doesn't matter who you are. Okay? It doesn't matter if you're the pastor, you're the choir leader, the worship leader, the top usher. It doesn't matter. We all need Jesus Christ. We cannot do it without him. So we cannot make other regulations saying, okay, we can get to God by following these rules. It doesn't happen. That's why Paul is so adamant on saying, this is the only way. Follow the true gospel. On the very on the first chapter, he actually tells them, listen, if an angel comes, if anything from that seems to be from heavenly or heavenly body tells you a different thing, don't listen. It's not true. The only gospel is Jesus dying for our sins, being crucified, and resurrecting on the third day, making what his claim was true. You can't deny that. Okay, so we cannot erect another set of rules. Number 19, for I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live for who? To God. Again, we are not under the law anymore. Our debt has been paid in full. So let's not live like we used to by breaking the law every chance we get. Okay? Being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and having liberty in him does not give us a license to keep sinning. Why? Because we're going to curse ourselves. Now, if someone wants to do that, then it's their choice. Everybody has free will. Everybody can do whatever they want to do. But God says, if you want to stay and you want to walk with me, you have to follow my rules. What did Jesus say? If you want to be my disciple, you have to do what I say. You have to follow what I've been teaching. You can't just say, I know Jesus Christ, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ and live a life of, you know, disobedience. You can't do that. Okay? We can't keep the law, but we can walk in the Spirit because he will lead us to all truth in every situation of our lives, guys. Okay? We cannot keep the law. But if we walk in the Holy Spirit, he will keep us in a straight path. Okay? Look, when we mess up, there's that conscience. You know what? You treating the brother the way you did? That's not cool, bro. He says it in a nice way. He's not condemning. He doesn't say, oh, you messed up again. I don't know if there's going to be forgiveness for you now. No, he's a loving father. And he tells us in a nice way. Look, 70 times 7, he doesn't keep count. And that's what we should do as well, not keep count. Number 20, I love this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Beautiful. For he gave his only son so that no one can perish. All we have to do is believe by faith. That's it. It's not a hard gospel. It's not difficult. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You just have to believe. And he even helps us. After you believe, he gives you the Holy Spirit so that you can walk with him in faith. The faith don't even come from us. He also gives us the faith to believe. How wonderful is that? All we have to do is have a receptive heart. That's it. Look, the law fulfilled its job by letting me know that I'm a sinner. Okay? Letting me know that I need a Savior. That's what the law is for. The law is not bad. Guess who put the law in place? God. So you can realize, listen, you need to repent. You need to walk correctly. You need a Savior who is willing to give his life in your place. Guys, where are you going to find that now? Nobody does that. Nobody will ever give their life for us. The Bible says even if they're good, they probably wouldn't do it. Okay? So, what Paul is saying, we are now dead to the rules and regulations of the law, but alive in the eternal here, in our hearts, and eternal, forever and ever, rule or reign of Jesus Christ in my heart. That's what we live for now. He is our King. He is the one that shows us the way, because He is the way. Okay? So our hearts are now the tablet where He writes those commandments. You no longer have to have the tablets made out of stone and you seeing them. Now they're written here in your heart. Okay? We have the Holy Spirit who gives us these gifts so that we can help each other get to the finish line, church. That's the whole goal. Get to the finish line. That's where we need to be. Romans 6, 5 to 11 says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." A beautiful promise. "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." Amen. Hallelujah. "Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having died, he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow. When I was studying this, I said, "Lord, this is so critical. This is what we need." Pastor Joe always says, "Hey, are you ready for our Lord's coming?" Guess what we need to be? A clean bride. A bride without blemish. That's what's important. He's coming, and we need to be a bride without blemish. And thank God he's already cleansed us. He already cleansed us with his word, with his blood. Now all we need to do is be faithful stewards, guys. 1 Corinthians says that's all we need to do. Be faithful stewards. Nothing else. Okay? To finish, 21. "I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." If we commit a crime and we die in the process, the law is not going to drag your corpse into the court and say, "This man is guilty." You've already paid the price. Okay? Does that make sense? Well, the same thing with our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to drag you in anymore because he already paid the price. He died for us already, guys. He already died in the process. And not because he was a sinner. He committed no sin. But yet his love is so wonderful. His love is so beautiful that his love is what kept him up there in that cross, guys. That's where it kept him. A lot of people were saying, come down, prove to us that you're the Messiah. Prove to us that you're the Son of God. He got crucified because he claimed to be the Son of God. Wow. Thank God he didn't come down because he had the power to do so. But he loves you, everyone here. He loves me, and that's why he stayed there. He was thinking of you in that cross when he said, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. They're little sheep. That's why we need to teach them, Dad. We need to teach them the word. We need to teach them what they need to do. And once they learn, they will be faithful. And that's where we need to be. Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, my brothers, my sisters, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. We were once married to the world. We were once married to all that the world has to offer. And we thought we needed it. We thought we needed money. We thought we needed gold. We thought we needed all these things that were essential for us to be happy, right? Everybody wants to be happy. Brothers and sisters, if you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, you don't need to be happy. Why? He gave his life for you. That's where your joy should be. He thinks about you every single minute. That's where you need to get your joy, because he knows who you are. He knows you by name. He was thinking of you in that cross. Oh, I'm dying for so and so and so and so and so. Only he knows the name. I don't, but he does. And he had you in mind. Okay? So it says, we are dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit. Again, see? Our liberty is to bear fruit to God. And I'll finish with this. Have you ever seen a tree that bears, like, let's take an apple tree. Have you ever seen a tree that is full of apples and you see the tree start eating his apples himself? You ever seen that? No. That's against nature, right? A tree cannot eat itself. Guess what? We eat our own fruits, and we're not supposed to. The fruits of the Spirit are for the church, for everyone else out there. Yet, we do something for the Lord, and the first thing we do is, look at me, he's using me. That's not how it works, guys. The fruits of the Spirit are for everyone else. And we're supposed to be trees full of fruits. Full of joy, full of love, full of long-suffering, so that everyone else can enjoy it. Nobody wants a grumpy pastor up here, you know, like the pastor says he was dunked in pickle juice. No, we need to have love in our hearts. Whatever we do, guys, whatever we do, church, do it in love. What love, you might say? Agape. Agape love. And if you don't know what that is, go to chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. Read the whole chapter. You will know. When I read that chapter, I was amazed. I was like, wow. How can we love like this? We can't. Only with the help of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit beside us. No other way. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. No other way, guys. You either take it by what it's worth, or you can go around it, you can try whatever you want, but there is no other way. And we're supposed to preach that. No matter what the word says. I mean, no matter what the world says. There's going to come a time. Whoever preaches the true word of God is going to be in trouble. Beware, guys. That time is coming. And if you're going to be teaching the word of God, then be ready. Because Paul was ready. Peter made mistakes, and he was ready. All the disciples paid the price for preaching the word. And in the last days, that's coming. Amen? Let's stand. Close in a word of prayer. Father God, you're so good, Lord. You provide us with everything we need. You provided us with salvation. You provided us with help, even to just walk with you hand in hand. Father, today I just give you praise. I thank you, Lord, for loving us so much, even though we don't deserve it. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your patience. Lord, we pray for our pastor, Lord, in these difficult times. Lord, give him strength. Give him peace in his heart. Let him know, Lord, that you got this. Let him know that you're in control. I know his heart. But if anyone can do it, it's you, Father. Lord, also bless every single one that's here. Bless their lives. Bless if anyone's watching online, bless them, Lord. Because the only one that can bless us is you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.